Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? To find your MO, tap now. Or for information on safe travel, come see me at visitmo.com.
This is match reaction for Everton 2, Brighton 3. Everton, 2022, first game, and we are still in deep, deep trouble. We are a bit later than usual. Couldn't quite get back into town today. So maybe not quite as angry as we might have been coming straight out the ground, but I'm joined by Matt Flusk, who thinks ready to go, to be fair, and Mark Moosey as well. Matt, comes to you first. Where do you even start with that, mate? Everyone excited to get back in Goodison. Dolman's back. Thought it was going to be potentially a good day. And I think after 16, 17 days away, you sort of forget how bad Everton were. But those first 20 minutes, it was a bit of a slap in the face. Like, these lads, these players, and this manager are all still here.
Yeah. I didn't even see the first goal. I was in my seat, but I was still eating my burger. So I looked up, and there wasn't even much of a reaction from the crowd. Just went, it was kind of the noise of like misplacing a pass, which kind of, I think, speaks to the apathy right now. I mean, inside 3 minutes, all the potential goodwill of nearly a month away from Goodison is just gone, isn't it? And I think 3-2 flattered us overall. And I've heard some people say that we've been good money for a, well, good value for a draw towards the end, but I thought it flattered us. I thought if it weren't for Tony Gordon, it could have been much, much uglier, but he pegged them back. And it's just more the same, isn't it? It's just this slow crawl until the day that complete head case fraud, just laughing at us, piece of tatty, cheap fabric, finally gets the boot.
What do you reckon the threshold is for getting a game postponed for not having enough good players? We are surely at the point where we need to be shouting null and void from the top of the top balcony. But yeah, as Matt said, you know, we've sat here after countless games now at Goodison Park and said, regardless of your feelings at the start of Rafael Benitez's tenure and regardless of your feelings after the latest disappointing 90 minutes, this is just never, ever going to work. Ever. Because before you even take any emotional context into how Evertonians feel about Rafael Benitez, every single thing that he does from a personnel point of view, from a tactical point of view, it just leaves you scratching your head in your seat as you comically wonder why Everton are 2-0 down against one of the Premier League's poorest sides. And it's hard to see what really changes his entire campaign here. We talk about changes. The game today was absolutely screaming out for Everton to do something different, because a 2-0 down, and I appreciate we got it back to 2-1, but at that stage in the game, on what was that, 55, just before the hour mark, that goal, the hour mark, Brighton themselves making a change, everything was gifting Rafael Benitez the opportunity to abandon this bizarre five at the back, which has ironically never ever worked for Everton, but in particular will never work when you try and shoehorn a player who everyone has collectively agreed should not be playing for your first 11 anymore into a totally different position. Part of me feels sorry for Seamus Coleman today, because God, we've been having sympathy for that man for playing him in his own position for 2 years. So moving him to a totally different position and asking him to do a job was comical.
Can you play this position, Seamus, where you played 13 years ago against Benfica and got absolutely legged everywhere?
which also went well. But the summary of this is that Everton are on this continual quest to get to the absolute lowest point before they act, and that the problem now, on an afternoon where in any other situation your manager would probably be sacked, is that 3 weeks ago the owner and everyone at the upper levels of the hierarchy at the football club decided that Rafael Benitez publicly was going to be the man who was in charge of the entire show. And now it will take so much more to break the threshold of sacking a manager, because they've made that stance, and because Marcel Brands has left, and because numerous members of the backroom staff have left. We've given the reins of this entire football team to a man who simply should never have been here in the first place. And it's pointless breaking down every 45, every 90 minutes of actual football, because to go back to the earlier point, it's just, this is never going to work. You can't look at that 90 minutes and buy into anything, be it one particular member of the team, the tactics, the general trajectory of the football team. How many of us came out of that ground today and instantly got your phone out to see how Leeds got on? I mean, that's the summary of where Everton are at the moment. And quite frankly, we've all just said it collectively now, this season is all about damage limitation, obviously not getting relegated out of the whole entire league, and can we take something into next season? But none of us want to do that with the manager who's in charge. And based on what we've read in the media, none of the players want to do that either.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to get into in the game. You know, it's 3-2. Obviously, there's a lot of talking points, a lot of near misses for both sides. But I mean, the main issue, Matt, for me is that the manager sets them up. And like I said, you know, everyone was keen to get back on the ground today. It was fun. I think a lot of people over Christmas thought, but we're not going to be at Goodison Park for a long time. The way to harness that energy and the way to harness your best striker being back is to play a bit more attacking, to get on the front foot, to get at a team that are decent. You know, they're up into 8th, they've had quite a good campaign, but as we saw numerous times, they are very vulnerable defensively. And instead we stood off them and let them have it. And you know, the word gets thrown around about defensive managers, about them being pragmatic. The most pragmatic thing to do for Everton today was to get on the front foot, because that would have been the best chance of us winning the game. And instead we stood off. We left Brighton at the ball, and they absolutely bossed the proceedings for the first 20 minutes. And you know, you can talk about the Dominic Calvert-Lewin penalty, you can talk about the changes that should have come and didn't come later on, but those first 20 minutes where Everton lost the game today, because it all turned on that.
Yeah, you said it all there. We just gave ourselves too big a hill to climb and didn't really help ourselves with the penalty miss. But I mean, You might look in hindsight and say Calvert-Lewin maybe shouldn't have taken it because he's rusty, but you'd want your number 9 to be taking a penalty, and he'll feel as bad about that as any player on the pitch today, because it might have changed the context of the game. I know you, Moji, think it would have. I think it might have given it a different context, but maybe with the same result. But yeah, we just gave ourselves far, far too much to do, and the defensive frailties were there once again without Jared Branthwaite, which I can't believe we even have to say that. The fact that some, you know, 13-year-old kid not being on the pitch means that we are back to being one of the most vulnerable and easy to pick off sides in the league, especially from set pieces. And yeah, it's just for a team to concede 3 to Brighton with 5 at the back. And it wasn't even like it was 3 at the back wing backs. It was a pretty flat back 5 for most of the game.
It was 5-4-1, wasn't it, at the time?
Yeah. Pretty much, and it's just it was
20 minutes of Brighton themselves going to a 5 at the back before we actually realised that they're not actually that interested in scoring another goal. Yeah. And then somehow allowed them to score another goal.
I mean, every tactical change that we seemed to make was in response. Yes. much later to theirs. Yeah. I mean, the moment that summed up the game for me was on 70 minutes. They'd held the lead since the third minute, and they were making their third substitution. We'd only made one. Yeah. And that was to bring on big Sally Rondo. So
yeah. We've had some pretty questionable managers and some really dicey moments in recent years, and I think every manager we've had is at that point where you think this is really troubling. I think any one of them, I'm thinking of Koeman, Silva, Martinez, any one of them realises at particular moments in that game today that the incentive is being literally handed to you by the opposition. Throw your second striker on, you know, none of us wanted to be Solomon Rondon, but get the extra man in midfield, which is just the most painfully obvious tactical change that has existed at Everton for so long.
Especially when that man is Gomez, who came on against Arsenal in the last home game and changed the game in a positive way.
Debatably, you're looking at him and thinking, why aren't you starting the game today? And the fact that it's taken, what, 85 minutes for him to get on the pitch? The stewards were out in the front of the Gladys Street before he was even taking his tracky top off. It was unbelievable. But yeah, the thing that you said, Matt, at the start of talking was that, I mean, collectively as Evertonians coming to Goodison Park at this moment, what do we actually want? And I think we'd all unify and just... We're not at that stage in the development of the football team where we can say, you know what, we want to push on, we want to qualify for Europe, we want progressive gains on the pitch every single week. We just want to enjoy it. We just want to have a team where we don't absolutely fucking despise everything about them, from the kit man right up to Farhad Moshiri.
And I'm harsh on Jimmy Martin.
I'm sorry, Jimmy, but you're all in the same boat at the moment, but... With what I mean, we've mentioned Bramley Moore and moving on, and the terrifying, albeit totally unrealistic, prospect of Rafael Benitez being the man to take us in there, which Farhad Moshiri seems intent on doing. We've got less than 50 football matches in that stadium left, and every time I go there and every time I walk out of it, I just despise everything about my day and think, well, what is the point? And we can't be in a situation where it's like that. I don't care if Everton don't win anything for the next 4 years, because I've just lived 27 of them as a season ticket holder. Like, if that's not the end goal of Rafael Benitez, then so be it. But if it meant that I could walk away from that stadium at least having some level of affinity for the thing that we are all so deeply involved in, I think I'd feel a lot more, I feel a lot less, as Matt said, the word that surrounds this football team and its fans is apathy. We all absolutely hate them, we despise them, we hate every single lineup that comes out, we hate every formation, and in particular we hate the manager that's there. And until that one particular thing changes, we're all going to collectively have the same opinion about it. And Joe, you know, obviously we want to be a successful team, we want to win things, but we need to get back to the basics of, certainly as a fan talking, I know that the players and the manager don't give a shit about this, but from a match day point of view, we need to in some way connect again with this football team. And it's never going to happen with an ex-Liverpool manager who is largely irrelevant in the game.
He's not really good anymore either.
Well, no, that's what I mean. We all knew.
It was a running joke.
None of us here, I speak for us all, dislike Rafael Benitez solely because he once managed Liverpool. Don't get me wrong, it doesn't help, but he was clearly not the man to come in. And we've been to lower lows than this. I'm struggling to think of too many of them, but we shouldn't be constantly striving to that point of absolute bottom of the shit tip before we realise that change is necessary. But for all the reasons I said before, Farhad Moshiri has made his awful bed, and Everton at the moment are lying in it.
Yeah, let's try to get a positive for a second.
No.
But
people don't like us being positive on the show.
No, but you said something there. You said, what do Everton fans actually want to see on that pitch? And we actually saw it today on that pitch, and that was big, gangly, wearing basketball shorts, Tony Gordon. He got what I might call like a Park Ender hat-trick, which was two goals and a scrap. That's what we want to see. Like, he was brilliant today. Like, that's one of the best individual performances I've seen in a win, loss, draw, whatever, from a player for a long time. And he was dragging us. If it wasn't for him, it would have been a lot uglier than it was. Dominic Calvert-Lewin did his best after being so rusty, and Damari Gray had a good go as well, but Tony Gordon was just...
Purpose today. There's been loads of times where we've watched him, and the Brentford game comes to mind in particular as one where he got on the ball a lot, but the connection with Luca Dean wasn't there. There never really seemed to be any end product, and it was hard to really put a finger on what his purpose in the team was. And yeah, he obviously got two goals today, but even if you take that away, every time he got on the ball, he squared up to his fullback and thought, we're going to take him on. He linked up well with whatever fullback it was, be it John Joe Kenny on the right or, wait for it, Seamus Coleman on the left. But there was a definitive point about him being on the pitch today, and I think, you know, he himself would say that he wants to impact the goal as much as possible, and he obviously did that. But I mean, we referenced a couple of games and a couple of players as we came out the ground of times where one individual has solely carried us through games. I mean, it's nice when that happens, and we champion the player for doing that, but a lacklustre Brighton and Hove Albion side coming to Goodison, it should never really come to that. We shouldn't be looking for one individual to drag us through, and try as he might today, I think the rest of the team totally let him down.
Sorry, Matt, the one that I said to you guys was Lukaku against Stoke in 2015, I think that was.
Yeah.
That had a very similar feel to this team, where it's like, maybe this is a bit further along, but at that point it was like, this, it's not really working with this manager. Why are we kicking the can down the road a little bit here? You know, this is clearly massive flaws in the side, but no, I just felt really sorry for Gordon today. Like, you know, even the goal he scored, the first one, you know, it was a deflection, so you're a bit like, do we celebrate that or not? Do give it the big one? Then he gets the second one to get us back in it, but there's never really any sense that we were going to go on and get a third or go on and, you know, really put any pressure on Brighton. But sorry, Matt Gordon, were you
saying? No, that was because that Stoke game, is that the one where Shaqiri, like, turned us into sausages?
Yeah, I think Tim Howard didn't leave from about.
Scored the weirdest goal that goes
somewhere. No one knew it ever got in, did they?
Yeah. You know, like, I know you're saying, like, we don't want to be having this chat about players, you know, dragging the team of 11 nobodies across the line to a 3-2 defeat, but we haven't had a player like that at all for too long, and a couple of years on him, I mean, saw glimpses today. How many times have we cried down the years, we thought Ross Barkley might be here for a while, you know, before we realised that
he might be back again in a few weeks,
his brain's made of candy floss. But like, we want that player who can grab a game by the scruff of the neck and say, no, you know what, I'm not going to wait for this good link up, I'm not going to wait for other people to do overlaps, I'm just going to do it myself. And Gordon looked like the beginnings, the green shoots of that player today. And
fair play to him for having the initiative to do that, because as you say, Matt, we've seen so many Everton players in recent years who, yes, be talented, they'd look around and think, well, I haven't really got the tools that I need to get the absolute perfect version of my game on the pitch here, and totally throw it away. And we saw Ross Barkley do that, obviously. But I think if we're going to go into personnel, I don't necessarily like the reaction that the Solomon Rondon change brought about today.
No. That was out of order.
It was, and it's not helpful in any way, but I mean, I sit in the park end, so it was massively amplified compared to what you guys will have witnessed.
Well, this is the whole point, isn't it, what Benitez?
Yeah.
You know, when you've got someone like him in charge and those things aren't going well, every little thing that he does is going to be... it becomes a massive thing all of a sudden. And this is where we can sit here and say, it's not about his past and whatever. We can sit here and say, it's mainly because he's a bad manager. But when you've got the connection he has, and when you are as he is, and when you set the team up as he does, then you've got to get everything spot on. Because all of a sudden, it's like, well, what is this all about? You can point to so many things saying, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And when you make changes like that, all of a sudden, it's like, well, everyone sees the negative in everything then, don't they, with him?
And you either change the mindset and the attitudes of 40,000 angry people, or you just bite the bullet and sack the manager that in reality we all know is not meant to be there. And as you say, everything is amplified, and it, you know what, each individual change and each individual match is probably not quite as bad, believe it or not, as what we talk about it here. But that is not the point. If you've created that perception, then it's your job to then fix it, and the only way of doing that is to be successful and win football matches. And if he's not doing that, if someone else shows me a picture of that form guide, which is what, we've got 6 points from the last 13 years or something ridiculous, like, whatever the run of form is at the moment, it's almost gone a little bit full circle to the point whereby the only reason we're not sacking this manager on sporting pedigree and the run of form is because of the narrative. And we're trying to avoid the fact that, oh yeah, if Everton get rid of him, then it's solely because of all the history and all of the chatter outside of the actual football, which, by the way, is absolutely terrible. And honestly, if any of other manager, other than Carlo Ancelotti, in the last 10 years at Everton had that run of form, then he'd be volleyed out the door tonight. And so we're looking at the fixture
list. But it's Mike Walker territory now, aren't we?
We're honestly looking at the fixture list now, thinking, surely if we get beat there, we can't go on. Surely if we go into Hull, surely if Leicester come and spank us here. And with every crippling defeat at home to terrible football teams, you just think, the guy is bulletproof. And a lot of that shielding that is around him has not been put up by him, but it's been put up by our owner, who has put so much credibility and so much faith in a project for the Everton word to fit in that is clearly not going to work. And the only point of change now is if Everton go and win 4 games in the next 7, or some form of run of form that you could really dig your fingers into and think, this is what Rafael Benitez's Everton team look like. If you think that's possible, and if Farhad Moshiri thinks that possible, then he's got far more faith in Everton and far more faith in Rafael Benitez than I have.
Yeah, I just want to backtrack slightly, because you went off on a bit of a thing there.
Fucking don't be positive here.
No, this is the opposite of positive. I'm glad you brought up the Rondon substitution, because obviously I wasn't made up with it, but I think we need to call it out, because people can say, oh, they were booing the change, not the player. But no, they clapped John Joe Kenny going off, and then when Rondon ran to the pitch, then they booed. They didn't boo when the board came up.
They booed the man himself coming on.
Yeah, it booed the man himself.
And he's symbolic of Benitez, isn't he, in a way?
I don't care. He's a human being, and he's an Everton player. Like, we are much better than that, I'd like to think.
Yeah, for a fan base that have seen Umar Nias come on this pitch and rescue us in games, we should know better.
I've seen Umar Nias come onto the pitch to a standing ovation.
It's unveiling.
No. Like, do you remember that time when Ronald Koeman was basically constructively dismissing him?
Yeah.
And by the way, one of the most shameful episodes in our history, and it doesn't get talked about enough. When he actually got brought on, he was getting, like, similar to Luca Dina on the touchline today, he got support from the crowd, and I'm just not comfortable at all with Rondon getting this flack, this, like, sort of being a human shield for Benitez.
But he didn't ask for this. I want our fans to be different. I want the atmosphere in the stadium. We go back to the enjoyment factor. I want all of that to change, but not to use him as a scapegoat for things that have been historical problems, but it will never happen with him, will it? It will never happen with Rafael Benitez. And in particular, it wouldn't happen with him solely on his own, but if you've then got someone like Solomon Rondon, who is the personification of his failing career in the last 10 years, that guy is obviously going to be made the scapegoat, and as you said, it's not right, but it will happen.
I mean, you're right, he is the embodiment of Benitez, basically, in the fact of where he actually signed from. We thought they were out to pasture, and then all of a sudden they've been brought back. And Matt will back me up on this. From the moment he signed, I was against it. I said, it's a waste of time. It's a complete waste of time. He'll make about 6 starts. He might score 2 goals. People will make excuses for him holding the ball up. And then when he goes in the summer, we'll be like, well, that was a waste of time, wasn't it? But still, I will never, ever, ever condone booing a player coming onto the pitch wearing the Everton shirt. It's just not fair.
Welcome, Sean Longstaff.
But it's one of them.
It's just not right.
Isn't it? Like, I was sat there thinking, whoever he brings off here, he's still going to get booed. Like, there's still going to be grief.
Was it Alan at that point?
No, it was John Joe Kenny came off. Yeah. Who just set up the goal. And that's what I was sort of like, why is he bringing him off? He's just set up the goal. Whereas John Joe Kenny was pretty awful for the first half.
I think it was, positionally, it was the right change. I thought Kenny had to come off. And I thought Holgate had to come off. And he should have brought on Dean and Gomez.
I've not felt, to Matt's point, I've not felt tension like that in a long time. And yes, the goal softened it for one of the changes, but it's at that Moyes point where, you remember it for about 6 or 7 home games in a row, every time Moyes brought a substitution to the edge of the technical area and the fourth official brought the board out, you thought, it's going to get really fucking angry in here now. Because at every point he feels like he's capable of plucking out the worst possible decision. And honestly, I'm just surprised that at the point of Andre Gomez coming on today, he wasn't hooking Damari Gray. Because honestly, you always think with Benitez that he's capable of, it almost feels as though he's purposely trying to wind everyone up at times, doesn't it? And It's hard. I know that we consistently buy into this thing whereby when footballers are back and they're back from injuries and back from COVID or whatever it may be, that everything will be different. And the Everton board are buying into the hope that we have some form of miraculous, you know, end of season Marco Silva run where we get 6 or 7 home games in a row. But it's very, very difficult to imagine that ever materialising at the moment, because I know we've got a lot of games and we've got games in hand and we're going to have an incredibly tight run of fixtures, but we do not look like a football team who needs the next game at the moment by a long stretch.
Just a couple of points to finish off. Luca Dean on the bench today, came out to warm up. Matt, I mean, he was on the bench. In my opinion, he should probably be in the squad, be available to play. Seamus Coleman played left wing Matt today. He should have played ahead of him. I mean, what was that all about? I mean, is it the manager making a point? Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And we had at least 2, maybe 3 corners where Gordon has put it out for a goal kick before it's come in. And we had a free kick in front of the Gladys on the right side of the goal as you look, on the left side of the goal as you look at the goal, right underneath me. And that was a perfect ball for Luca Dean to put in and someone to have a chance at ending it in. As it was, we had Gordon and Damari Gray doubling up, both right footers, and that game was screaming for a natural left footer to whip a ball in the whole game. And he's kept them on the benches to prove a point to Dean, to us fans, to everyone. And I hope his nose got put out of joint when Dean came out to warm up and he got that ovation, because it's just, I know obviously we unveiled the signer before kickoff and everything like that and his replacement is basically in the door, but the whole episode, it strikes me as fundamentally juvenile. It really does. Like, this is not the kind of thing that a manager with his experience should be doing. It's the kind of thing that a manager does when they're just starting out and they're trying to, you know, assert their authority with unruly players who are like 4 years younger than them. It's just, it's unbecoming.
Prunus for Mikalenko sitting in the main stand watching that.
Get me back to Kiev.
I mean, we'll never know, will we? We'll never know what goes on and the conversations that go on at Finch Farm, and, you know, who's in the right, who's refusing to play, who's being exiled. But if his future is not going to be at Everton, which it clearly isn't, if Seamus Coleman's playing ahead of him at left wing back, then why is he even in the stadium? What is the point in that? And as Matt said, it's very hard. And I think most of the time, in terms of managers going out actively to prove points, it's not always like that. But it's very hard to see anything else, really, isn't it? And as you both said, at the point where he comes out and warms up, as nice as it is for Luca Dean to experience that, and as ridiculous as it makes Rafael Benitez seem, it's arguably as unhelpful as booing a player coming onto the pitch, because
it's just another way for fans to say we don't like you as a manager.
Yeah,
and he feeds off it.
Talking about a football team who sets himself up for failure, he's done that in one swoop, even including Luca Dean in the squad. Just totally pointless. But that totally pointless is probably the finger that you will point at most of the Everton squad for the last few years gone by. Really, really questionable decision, as is, not to go back to it, but for different reasons, bringing Solomon Rondon on, because as much faith as that guy might have in that footballer, what are we going to learn? What are we going to learn from Solomon Rondon? And do you know what? I'd stand by this point if he got the equaliser today, because bringing someone like Sims or Dobbin or another midfielder or just something where we could look at one of the younger players and think, well, at least have come away from this knowing hopefully positive things about him, but potentially negatives as well, and think, well, do you know what, that's another game in Ellis Sims' career where I think maybe not right, and we'd have still lost the game and we'd be equally disappointed, but at least we'd have some form of purpose about the players that we were putting on the pitch. And as I say, Solomon Rondon, he'll probably score goals for Everton. There will probably be times where you think, thankfully for that, and then you look at each other and think, that's not going to happen. But God forbid there is a day where he scores, it will still remain pointless, because he is not the future, he's not the present at this football team, and it will be forever be the stain on that entire transfer. That it will forever hold back the young players in the squad, and we are eternally capable of doing that, of getting young players to the brink of wanting to knock on the door of getting into this side, and then bringing some absolute dustbin in to come and take their place. Just totally pointless.
In a week as well, where I think there's been talk about Dobbin wanting more minutes to sign his contract, and he's not played. The last thing I want to speak about, because I think this is hilarious, Michael Keane's pass out to Ben Godfrey, a left back. I think I can't remember a time being in Goodison where, apart from a goal by the opposition, where more people have got up and gone. At that point, it was just like, it was the final straw for so many people, wasn't it?
I think he actually pulled his shirt over his face in the hope that it would, in some weird magical way, erase the last 10 seconds.
But he did it again.
When he nearly did it again, talk about the moments of tension where we make substitutions, or God, those moments where every single muscle in your body just tightens up. Ben Godfrey did him a massive favour by keeping that in. But to then pass the ball back inside to Keane, who attempted a 45-yard diagonal ball to Seamus Coleman on the right-hand side. I mean, the bravery of that pass was second to none. But, yeah, I mean, not to delve into the characteristics of every single individual, but he is another one of those players, isn't he, whereby when he feels that energy that we've spoken about at Goodison Park, he totally crumbles, and you can almost see all of the muscles in his right leg just relaxing and flopping as he went to kick the ball out to Ben Godfrey, because it was just the most Alan Stubbs moment since the guy actually left the football club. But yeah, just I wouldn't pick in too much defensively into any one individual, because I think he could probably look at all five of them to a man almost and pick out negatives in the game today. But five at the back will forever be a very debatable topic at Everton for me. But if three of those five, if four of those five are going to be Jonjo Kenny, an out of position Seamus Coleman, Michael Keane and Mason Holgate.
You know what, Ben Godfrey was crap today as well.
And was comfortably the best of the five.
I thought he drove us forward a couple of times, which was helpful.
Yeah. Can't pass a football.
My only hope of the day is that Newcastle were watching Mason Holgate, because we might have something to buy into in terms of shipping him out for some actual money. But I think
he's homegrown.
I'm out on that.
We'll leave it there. That is it from us today on the Blue Room. It's all going on in here. Everyone's getting off. That is it. Everton 2, Brighton 3. We've got another game at some point. Is it Hull next? Hull? Oh, God. On BBC for the embarrassment.
Maybe not like Graham Norton commentating.
Yeah.
Like Eurovision.
Hopefully, brought some levity to you. Hopefully, there's enough anger there as well. But bad start to the year. Things trying to get better for the Blues. Here's hoping they do.
Progressive Insurance protects people's cars, homes, and other vehicles. But if you've ever seen our commercials or even just heard our name, you probably already knew that. What you may not know is that we support Humble Design, a nonprofit that furnishes homes for families and veterans emerging from homelessness. Because a little help goes a long way. And a lot of help. Well, you get the idea. Now, if you already knew all of this about Progressive Insurance, we're impressed. We'll have to find something else cool to tell you next time. Find out more about how we're dedicated to our customers and communities at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Sports Social Podcast Network.